Hello to everyone out there again today. We are coming to you from Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport, Tennessee. We want to welcome you to our radio broadcast today. We are going to be doing lesson or sermon number 6 in our series on the curse and wickedness of Islam. What I want to talk about today is do some comparisons between the Islamic doctrines, between what the Islamics have to say about God and what the Bible, the King James Bible, has to say about those doctrines. One of the big issues that I've ran into in preparing for this series is I constantly run across people that say that the God of Islam is the God of the Bible. And I've also gave you some documentation that the Roman Catholics even say that they are one and the same God. And some of the edicts that come out of the Vatican II Council, and also I believe out of canon number 846 in the Roman Catholic Catechisms, refers to the Muslims as being brothers. And I'm here to tell you that there is no Muslim out there who is my brother. A brother to me has to be a Bible-believing Christian. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and by that I mean when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sin, and are regenerated by the Spirit of God, then you become a brother in Christ. I do not believe in the universal brotherhood of men, because the Bible teaches that if you're not saved, that you are of your father, the devil. I am a child of God, and I thank God for that. And I want to remind some folks of some things out there this morning that if you've never been saved, you can be saved. But I also want to remind those people out there that think that you can get saved anytime that you want to, that's not true. The Bible says that there must be conviction of the Holy Ghost of God. Once that conviction is there, if you'll put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sin, and turn to Him, He will save you. It's just as easy as that. Salvation is not about a sinner's prayer. In fact, a sinner's prayer has led many a professor straight into the pits, the fiery pits of hell. Salvation is not about a prayer. Salvation is not about the baptismal pool. Salvation is not about having your name on a church roll. And salvation is not about any wicked man on the face of this earth like Muhammad. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the resurrection. And because He rose from the dead, I have a guarantee that I also will rise from the dead should I pass on before He takes His Bible-believing Christians out of here in the rapture. I know for a fact that I am going to heaven. And you can know that also. And if you do not know that for a fact, then I think you need to do some checkup. If you are unsure of your salvation, you had better check up and make sure that you're saved. Because the Bible says this: these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know it for a fact, and you can know it this side of eternity. All right, I want to get into this whole idea now of comparing the doctrines of the Quran with the doctrines of the Bible. And for a Bible-believing Christian out there, some of these things will be an immediate slap in your face. But for those that have been taken in by deceit and deception, who say, why can't we just get along with other folks? The ecumenical crowd that says that I ought to go shaking hands with any and every false religion and apostate out there, I'm not going to do that. You just cannot do that. Now, the Islamic God of the Islamic God versus the God of the Bible. Allah is unknowable, whereas God is knowable. Allah is an impersonal being, whereas God is personal. Allah is not a spirit, but God is a spirit. Allah is not a father, nor is Jesus the Son of God in the Quran, whereas God is one existing in three persons, not three gods, but one God. And God does have a son. Allah can do anything with no limitations, but God cannot go against his immutable nature. In other words, he cannot lie. Allah is capricious, but God is trustworthy. Allah has no feelings toward man, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah. Allah doesn't personally enter human history. God came in the flesh to bring about man's salvation. He is the God-man. He is now the eternal God-man. Allah provides no savior or intercessor, and there is no concept of grace. But God provided a savior through his manifold grace. Hallelujah. The God of Islam has no son, whereas the God of the Bible has a son that came in the flesh. Hallelujah. In the Bible, God loves all sinners, but Allah only loves those that love him. Allah is also a God who is unsure of himself, because in two different surahs of the Quran, he says that he cannot command evil. But in another surah, it says that he can command evil. So which is it that he can do? Can he command evil or can he not command evil? Another issue that we have with Islam is the fact that they deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Trinity. According to the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ is both God and the eternal Son of God. That is why he is called Lord. That's why we call him Lord Jesus Christ. He is the I am that I am of the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament plainly states that fact clearly in the Gospel of John and throughout the New Testament. Listen at what 1 Timothy 3:16 has to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God emphasize God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Let me read it again to you. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the word, received up into glory. Hallelujah. You'll notice that there is not a he who or a who in that particular verse in the King James Bible as it is in the perverted Bibles. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. And Islam denies that. Micah 5:2 says this, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." There has never been a time when the Lord Jesus Christ has not been the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ did not become the Son of God in the incarnation. In other words, when he came in flesh, he did not become the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He has always been the Son of God. He will always be the Son of God. He became the eternal God-man in the incarnation. Literally, God in the flesh. When the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven and came to this earth to die for my sin and to die for your sins, if you're a Muslim, he died for you also. When he came and died for me and went to that cross, he was never the same. When he went back to heaven, he went back to heaven as the God-man that had died in the flesh. And he, by the way, he still has the wounds, not scars, the wounds in his hands as proof of the crucifixion. And forever he is the God-man. He's never the same anymore. He will never cease to be the God-man. According to Islam, Jesus is not the Son of God. That is blasphemy. According to Islam, Jesus did not die for our sins. Jesus was not crucified. Jesus was not divine as well as human. And Jesus is not the Savior. Now, we teach that the Lord Jesus Christ was 100% God and 100% man, and that he was subject unto temptations like as we are, yet without sin. He is the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. Not only did he not sin, he could not have sinned. He is God. Yet this Allah denies that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, and instead states this, that he went to heaven without dying. He went up to Allah without dying. Now, according to Surah 5, verse 19 and verse 75, it is blasphemy to call the Lord Jesus Christ God. Based upon the authority of the Word of God, I say that it is a blasphemous doctrine that they have in the Quran. It is blasphemy to say that the Lord Jesus Christ is not God. It is blasphemy to say that the Lord Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. It is blasphemy to say that the Lord Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for my sins. It is blasphemy to say that the Lord Jesus Christ was not resurrected. Also in the Quran, in Surah 4, verse 171, it denies that there is a Trinity. Therefore, denying that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, and also denying that the Holy Ghost is God. The Christian Trinity is God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, and God the Son. Three persons in one. Now, Surah 4, verse 171 and 5, verse 78 say that the Lord Jesus Christ is no more than an apostle. That is blasphemy. Surah 5, verse 119 says that it is derogatory to God to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, Mary also. That's what's in the surah. And we agree with that. Mary is not to be worshipped. But the Lord Jesus Christ is very God of gods. He is the God of the Old Testament, incarnated in flesh. And he is to be worshipped, adored, uplifted, exalted. Any other names that you want to glorify him with, he is to be glorified and honored in all things. Surah 3, verse 59 says this, the similitude of Jesus before Allah is as that of Adam. He created him from dust, and he said to him, be, and he was. Now that is the same heresy that is promoted by the Arian cults that have existed down through the history of Christianity, and which exists in the form of the Jehovah Witnesses and the Unitarians today. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's God come in the flesh, no matter what the Jehovah Witnesses and the Unitarians have to say. Now, those particular groups, the Jehovah Witnesses and the Unitarians, believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was a created being, just as the Islamics believe. If you're a Bible-believing Christian and believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then the Quran says in Surah 9, verse 30, that God's curse is upon you. Now, in Surah chapter 6, verse 101 says, the primal origins of the heavens and the earth, how can he have a son when he had no consort? Surah 19, verse 35 says, it is not befitting to the majesty of Allah that he should beget a son. Glory to him. When he determines a matter, he only says it, be, and it is. In Surah chapter 19, verses 88 and 89 of the Quran, we read, they say God, most gracious, has begotten a son. Indeed, ye have put forth a plan most monstrous. Then in Surah 23, verse 91, no son did Allah beget, nor is there any God along with him. If there be many gods, behold, each god would have taken away what he had created, and some would have lorded it over others. And it goes on and on. Surah 37, verse 151 says this, is it not that they say from their own invention, Allah has begotten children, but they are liars? Surah chapter 112, verses 1 through 4 says, say, he is God, the one and only, God the eternal, absolute. He begetteth not, nor is he begotten, and there is none like unto him. Surah chapter 9, verse 30 says, the Jews call Uzair a son of Allah, and the Christians call Christ the son of Allah. That is a saying from their mouth, but imitate what the unbelievers of old used to say. Allah's curse be on them. How they are deluded away from the truth. I want to say this. That is the blind leading the blind. I have never heard something so blasphemous and ungodly in all of my Christian life. It is wicked and ungodly to say that God did not have a son, to say that he did not come in the flesh, to say that he is a created being. That is ungodly, and that is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, according to Surah 5, verse 119, the Christian Trinity consists of God the Father, Mary, and Jesus. Did you hear that? The Christian Trinity consists of God the Father, Mary, and Jesus. Now, where do you think the Islamics may have got that from? They got that from the Roman Catholics, who worship Mary as a co-intercessor and a co-redeemer. In other words, they put her equal with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is blasphemy and ungodly. The Mary of Roman Catholicism is the Queen of Heaven of the Old Testament. We know from our Bibles that the Christian Trinity does not include Mary. The Christian Trinity includes God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. These three are one and make up the Godhead. He is the Godhead. These three are not three separate gods. They are unified in the Godhead. Since man was created in the image of God, we have a body, soul, and spirit, yet we are one being. That is probably the simplest way to understand it. Neither part of the Godhead exists apart from the other. All three are co-equal, co-existent, and co-eternal. We can understand now how Islam can misinterpret the Christian concept of the Trinity when they view it through the false doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church and the Greek Orthodox Church. But Roman Catholicism and the Greek Orthodox Church, both of them, exalt Mary to the point where they actually worship her. She is worshipped as the Queen of Heaven. In both of these false religious systems, she is put on par with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can understand why when they were fed that trash from out of those two false religions, that they would latch on to the Christian Trinity as including Mary. Now, the Quran has several statements in it attacking the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The Quran says at least 13 times that Allah does not have a son. Both the Quran and the Hadith go to great extremes to emphasize the oneness of Allah and to state that Allah has no equal. The Muslims condemn the biblical concept of the Trinity as polytheism and put those who believe in it under the condemnation of death. And what they're saying is if you believe in the Trinity, you should be put to death. To the Muslims, stating that the Godhead exists in the form of God the Father, God the Son, and the God the Holy Ghost is to state that there are three gods. They vehemently deny the Trinity as polytheism. Now, polytheism is the belief in more than one God. That's the simplest way to put it. Yet, while reading the Quran, several very strange phrases kept popping up in the Quran when I read the Quran. The phrases "we sent" and "our signs," among others, when referring to the Islamic God Allah. In referring to the Islamic God Allah, the Quran phrase "our signs" come up 83 different times. The word "our" pops up 225 times. The phrase "we sent" is used 83 times. The phrase "we have sent" occurs 29 times. If there is no God but Allah, and He is one and only one, and there is no Trinity, then who is this "we" and "our" of the Quran? What is going on here? If Christians are called polytheists by the Islamists because we believe in the biblical Trinity, then so should the Islamists be called polytheists, because this talking head that calls himself Allah constantly refers to himself as "we" and "our." "We" and "our" denotes that there is more than one. Duh. From the King James Bible, I can absolutely state that Islam is totally corrupted with the spirit of Antichrist, and that it is an Antichrist. And I once again want to quote to you some scripture out of 1 John chapters 2, 4, and in 2 John. "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also." 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 say this: "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard," excuse me, "that it should come, and even now already is in the world." 2 John verse 7 says this: "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Now, upon the authority of the word of God, I can absolutely state that Islam is the spirit of Antichrist. In the Quran, not only is the Lord Jesus Christ a mere man, but Adam is worshipped, which brings me to the next topic that I want to deal with. The Quran states that Adam is to be worshipped. In at least 7 different places, that when Adam was created, that God commanded all angels to bow down and worship Adam. I've got verse after verse here where they are commanded to bow down and worship Adam. We are not to worship any man, put simply, we are not to worship Muhammad. Muhammad, to me, is really the God of Islam. Because if you blaspheme this false prophet, you're under the threat of death. And in the Quran, they also state that Satan, whom they refer to as Iblis, I-B-L-I-S, got himself in trouble because he would not fall down and worship Adam. Nowhere in the King James Bible is there any worship to be given to any man. The only man, if you want to call it a man, that's worthy of worship is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy of worship. He is the only man that's ever come to the face of this earth, died on a cross, went into a tomb for 3 days, and then was resurrected. He's the only one that's ever happened to. It's amazing to me that this Quran and this God of Islam would claim to be the same God as the God of the Bible. A mere man to be worshipped? That's blasphemy. Another doctrine within the Quran that I want to deal with is a doctrine of the degrees of sin. The Muslims walk hand in hand with Roman Catholics in their doctrine of mortal and venial sins. Surah chapter 53, verse 32 says this: Those who avoid great sins and shameful deeds, only falling into small faults, verily the Lord is ample in forgiveness. Big problem there. The King James Bible knows no doctrine of mortal and venial sins. It knows no doctrine of small faults and shameful deeds. According to James chapter 2, verse 10, he that is guilty of violating one point of the law is guilty of violating the whole law. Those that are guilty of violating the most minor point of the law are subject to the eternal flames of hell if they do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The murderer is just as guilty as the liar. And the liar is just as guilty as the cheat. And the cheat is just as guilty as the rapist in God's eyes. One sin will send you to hell. No degrees of sin within the Bible. Another doctrine that I want to deal with here today is that doctrine of within the Quran, where they are allowed to both beat their wives, and this whole idea of being able to have thousands of, literally thousands of virgins in paradise. The Lord Jesus Christ said that there would be no given and taken in marriage in heaven, and yet you take a look at this God of the Quran, and those that go into the Islamic paradise have unlimited number of virgins available to them. They can get just as drunk as they want to and go into a continual drunk spell, and also a continual orgy of fornication in heaven, where the God of the Bible says there will be no giving and taking in marriage. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has one bride. Perhaps it is appropriate that Islam allows multiple wives, since Islam is a part of the bride of Satan. The bride of Satan is composed of many harlots, in other words, multiple wives, including Islam. The two major polygamous religions in the world are Islam and Mormonism. Surah 4, verse 3 in Hadith, volume 7, book 62, number 2, and volume 7, book 62, number 35, allows the Muslim men to have up to four wives. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 19, verses 1 through 6, that it is the will of God that there be one man and one woman for life. That is the biblical concept of marriage. It is not God's will that a divorce should take place. Now, if I have time, I'll deal with this doctrine that the Islamic have predestination, in which they are much similar to a group of people within professing Christianity called Calvinist. And I may not have time to deal with that in great depth, but briefly, the doctrine of Calvinism, as it is falsely preached in Christianity, states that certain individuals are predestined to go to hell before they're born, and certain individuals are predestined to go to heaven before they are born. It also says that it uses the phrase tulip to describe what that Calvinism is: total depravity of man, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints. Those are the three doctrines, and none of them are biblical, especially if you go reading how they're practiced by the Calvinists themselves and read their writings. You will understand and know that the doctrine of Calvinism is ungodly. It is a doctrine of devils. And I will get into that a little bit more in depth next week. I want to thank you for joining us here today in this, I believe probably it's about our sixth in a series of sermons on the curse and wickedness of Islam. We thank you for taking your time out, and we would like to encourage you to join us again in our radio broadcast. It has been a blessing having you listening to us today, and may the Lord richly bless you, and thank you again.